Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
Life is full of personal wins, whether it's cleaning your house, getting that dream car, or checking off your to-do list. Winning at life is a great feeling. And with the State Farm Personal Price Plan, you can keep winning when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling home and auto. So give yourself a round of applause. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 662. Do you have something in the corkboard, Kyle?
Yeah.
That people can send by going to events at nerdist.com on their email?
We've got Monster Stomp.
What?
Yeah. It's in Nashville. Which is a place where fun things happen.
I know Nashville very well.
This is do you like the rock and roll dance music?
Yeah.
You know what would make it better?
Oh.
Monster 50s monster movie theme.
Always.
Yeah. It's hosted by the horror host Dr. Gangrene.
Okay.
And they just have a bunch of cool bands that are going to play 50s horror movie style music.
Okay, good.
Rock
I thought
and roll.
I'm glad you said horror. For a second I thought you said whore host. It came out weird.
Well,
horror.
There's an after party that we're working out.
Right,
they actually sent you some photos, Chris, to see if you would like to.
I don't know what you're
come talking. To the party. So
that's amazing.
I'm just gonna put these in your. No, that's a fake thing. I was saying that I was gonna try to get you some whores.
How dare you? So when is this thing?
This is May 8th at 9 p.m. And it is at. This person just wrote a big old paragraph full of content at the basement in Nashville.
Okay, great. Thank you, Kyle.
No problem.
I would like to tell people that we have a pair of tickets to give away to our Marvel Movie Marathon on April 20th. It goes from the 20th to the 21st. It's a 28-ish hour marathon at the El Capitan. It is sold out. People bought tickets. We're going to be going up in between movies, and there'll be giveaways and prizes, and there's we're providing some food for people, so they're not just there, you know, stuck in a theater without any sustenance for 29 hours. But it's all 11 Marvel movies in chronological order, starting with Iron Man and ending with Age of Ultron before anyone else gets to see it. And we have a pair of tickets to give away, radio show style, for a listener who's we've launched. Nerdist.com now has a new sign-in. Because we don't have to use someone else's anymore. That's why we changed that, because now we actually have the digital infrastructure to have our own sign-in. So that's what this is about.
Cool.
That's why you have to re-sign up for Nerdist.com. There are more perks and benefits of doing that as time goes on that we will be announcing in the future. But if you go to the post of this episode and just make any kind of comment... You know, it doesn't even have to be. You can even tell me that I'm a bag of shit, and that's fine. You will be entered into a randomized contest to receive a pair of two tickets to the Marvel Movie Marathon April 20th.
I've been thinking this whole time about how to try to bring a catheter in to just sit for 29 hours.
Yeah, or just eat popcorn out of a bucket. And actually, don't pee into the bucket. don't do that. We're going to pick a winner at random and announce that on Wednesday's podcast. So do that as fast as you can. This episode was the Undateable cast. Brent Morin, David Finn, Rick Glassman, Ron Funches. Everyone's favorite At Midnight contestant, Ron Funches. They're promoting Undateable Tuesdays at 9 on NBC. And good group of dudes. Really funny.
Quality
and everyone's
throwdown.
Funny in a different way.
Yeah.
And it got serious for a minute, which was really fun. But just sort of like comedy and intolerance and bullying, and which was great.
Also, there's a British accent contest.
David Finn wins because he is British. Episode number 662. Beginning now. Wait, now. Okay, now. Now, Katie. Do it. Katie.
I don't think she's coming back.
Why'd she leave?
And probably all the shouting.
We'll have to do it ourselves.
Bling, 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 bling. Now entering Nerdist.com.
Now entering Nerdist.com. Everything well dressed for an audio form.
Yeah. Are you wearing a KK Slider shirt?
Mm-hmm.
Fucking sweet.
Thank you.
I mean, walking in and expecting to see them and then seeing you on the phone and then I might as well have just caught someone masturbating.
I couldn't. What if I was? I think I would have just been like, nah, keep on going. thank you for coming out in the rain of Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah.
This is as bad as it gets. We're okay.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
You seem a little shaken up, Brent.
Worse.
Are you okay?
I'm traumatized now.
The rain?
No.
The sky
no.
is. Jesus is crying.
I'm waking up. I'm doing a little Red Bull. I'm going to wake up.
Why are you.
I just flew in from New York, so I didn't really sleep on that.
Oh, there it is. Drop
it
in.
I spilled a coffee on my. I spilled a cappuccino all over myself.
Oh!
Yeah.
Nobody rich people me. Problems. Yeah. Spilling a cappuccino on
well,
a
by
Max.
When that chair reclines into a bed, you got to be careful.
Did you fly back JetBlue also?
Yeah.
Ron, no, I know you did.
Oh, Ron, did you?
No.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Is Ron, are you flying private now, Ron?
JetBlue Mint is basically private. You get your own little cabins.
It's
have you
crazy.
Done it?
No. Have you done it?
It's just out of
fantastic.
New York to LA, but oh, 180 degrees. They close your doors in. They give you ice. All the food is straight out of New York. They pick them up from the restaurant to bring it on. So it's not airplane food. Not to mention anything you want from the back, the pretzels, the hummus, the dips. Yours.
They just really?
Give just give it to you.
It's pretty amazing.
That's insane. Yeah.
I got so much food.
I ruined the experience within like the first 30 minutes of the plane ride by spilling a coffee all over myself. So,
but did
I didn't enjoy it as well.
Did a robo maid come in? And, did you get? To, was there a shower? Were you able to?
There's
clean
a
up?
Horrifying suction system on the seat.
I did coffee right. They brought us some vanilla bean organic ice cream. I threw it in my coffee. Did. I just mixed it up and I had a fucking time.
Coffee
I apologize for the language.
Right.
So, I did my coffee right.
You ever put ice cream in coffee?
Yes,
yeah.
Of course.
I don't think I invented it, but nobody told me about it.
Well, the way to do it for me is that I'll scoop the ice cream and then dunk it, like scoop
I was
the
doing
coffee.
That. That's how it started.
Then,
that's
yeah,
how it nice. Started for me. And then I'm like, a bigger scoop, it fell in, might as well mix it.
Because it just melts when you drop it in there.
Yeah, it's but so cream. Does cream. What's the difference between cream other than it tastes better with
you
ice cream?
You don't really want to eat cream with a spoon unless
no,
you
No, but I'm saying you put cream into coffee.
It's true. So it's pretty much the same thing. Yeah. Yeah, why not do the ice cream? Is coffee ice cream? Is coffee on coffee too much?
No.
Coffee ice cream on coffee ice cream? No, not too much.
I don't know, man. I was flying high. I was having a good time.
Mint, JetBlue Mint. I've heard of it, but
yeah.
I haven't.
It's amazing.
You know,
it's honestly.
It's actually.
I saw. I checked the time and I saw there was a little over 4 hours left. I'd already watched a movie and I wasn't sure if we're almost landing. And I saw 4 hours left. I got so excited. I didn't want to leave. I was next to my girlfriend. She's very pretty.
Mr.
Fun.
Glassman, you're going to have to get off the plane now.
Okay, no. I get it, but take me back.
I'm not. Let's go back. Let's take another one. Let's do another lap.
I'm awake from this coffee ice cream.
Everyone, you know, normally, because we don't, this is more people than we normally have at one time on the podcast. Well, actually, that's not true when Matt and Jonah are here, but everyone should introduce themselves so that the audience knows whose voice is whose, starting with Brent.
Hey, what's going on?
That's not your voice, Brent.
Okay. This is Brent Morin.
Uh-huh.
That's still not your
no,
voice.
That's my voice.
That's just when he's talking about agents' voice.
Hey, what's going on with all these agents right now?
Where's my agent now?
Yeah.
Want to go out on a date?
I think, of course, everyone knows.
You're listening to the smooth tones of Ron Funches. Coming up next, a solid hour of Aretha Franklin.
Welcome back to Silly Jazz with Ron Funches.
Silly Jazz. It's just all like yakety sax, but you say it like it's yeah. smooth jazz.
Here's another hour of a guy chasing a topless woman.
You're listening to clown jazz.
Good.
Rick?
I don't have a joke prepared, but I'm going to try something.
Okay.
You know, my name is Rick. Oh. You know, we take our swings.
Is that Rick or Rip Torn?
No, I think it was more Rick Grimes.
I could do Rick Torn. Rip Torn.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Men in Black.
That's pretty good.
Not bad, right?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Just the film title.
Yeah.
And I'm David Finn.
Ooh.
Perfect.
Classy.
It stands out.
Sophisticated.
Yeah. That stands out.
Yeah.
That
over.
Fake accent.
Yeah, I know.
Brent, Ron, I just actually did the show. He did a Meltdown show last night. Did At Midnight yesterday. And
beta.
Yeah, beta test. You didn't do it. Doug did At Midnight yesterday, and you did beta test last night. Brent, We got to be pals touring on the Oddball tour.
Yeah.
Did you have fun?
I had a blast.
It was pretty cool.
We had a fun little group, though. It like, was after nice. The show, like you, me, and
what'd you
Jeff
break,
Ross.
Rick?
What did you drop? Cookies?
Why are you waving your hand?
I'm black, man. I'm black. I'm just to keep
Rip Torn, why did you break Rick Glassman's phone?
We had a great time. That was fun. I love that tour. I wish I got to do it with you too, Ron, because I know you did it too. But we didn't have the same cities.
Yeah, that was my request.
we have very similar acts. Mine just doesn't make sense.
Brent, no, I remember your sets went great.
Oh,
and then
fun.
the first show we did, I think was in
Tampa. Yeah.
And Brent could not contain himself. He had to sing teen boy hip hop music. He has a very nice singing voice.
We know.
And I'm sure you do.
Yeah, we know.
And so he
clubs at it constantly.
he clubs us over the head with it.
He couldn't contain himself. And so the funniest part of it, though, because he admitted to the audience it was self-indulgent. He knew it was indulgent, but he did it anyway.
I had to do it. It was an amphitheater. It felt cool.
You know, it was like 15,000 people or whatever was watching Marin backstage get annoyed. But like, you started singing. He was like, oh, fuck this. Really?
Yeah. But then I knew he would be annoyed. And the first, I go right up to him before they call his name. I go, Mark, I'm sorry. I had to do it. He goes, you fucking hack. It's like, that's what me and Mark became friends. It made me laugh so hard. And then the next city I go, I won't do it in Atlanta. But then Atlanta was so cool. I go, Mark, you're not going to like this. And I hear him laughing backstage. I did it again.
It's hard not to.
It's my rock star fantasy.
Did you have fun? Do you like performing for a lot of people? Or is it it's 50, like 15, 20?
No, I like it when it's like nobody and I'm making no money and stuff. I like that purist stuff.
No.
No, I don't think that's true.
No, I like it. It's fun. I mean, it's different for me, and it's fun to see if I can make what I do work, which is not much movement and not much, you know. There's a lot of some energy, but it's not high pace. So it's fun to see. And then I try to do different things. Like, I also, Marin hated my act because I brought out a whole hype posse that backed me up and threw confetti and broke a bunch of stuff and threw Top Ramen into the crowd. It was a fun time.
But that's the best.
There's
going to
be a whole separate
that.
Podcast called Marin Hates My Act. Like, here's what Marin hates about my act.
He let me know.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that.
How did you hurl Skittles into the
amphitheater? I didn't. I have some ideas about how to do it in a large environment, mostly with like with t-shirt cannons or things of that nature. But I haven't done it yet.
You could put, not in every chair, it'd be expensive, but under every fourth chair, just a bag of Skittles and have the host let them know. And then when you're about to do it, they could pour it in the people in front of them.
Now is the time for, hey guys, remember those Skittles that have been under your seats? Now's the time.
The energy has been killed, but we'll do it.
Did you do any of the Oddball dates?
No, I was busy.
Were you busy not doing the Oddball?
Yeah. I had to do that purist shit that Rob was talking about.
Well, you know, it's amazing to... It really is amazing to get to do that. But honestly, like, comedy is meant to be intimate. I really do think it's better when the room is smaller.
It's a better feeling of having the... I opened for Aziz on some arena shows, and it was weird to have that many people, and then, it feels like the laughs punch you back, and that's fun, but it seems like it takes so long to get a reaction.
I
like the when it's just like back and forth where it feels almost like you're in a fight or in a fun dance.
Yeah, well, because you have
those
to
are two completely different things.
I don't think so.
Have you not seen West Side Story?
Yeah, it was a fun dance and a fight at the same time.
Hey, listen, we all make mistakes, I'll be the first.
And if you're a good fighter, technically, it's just a fun dance to you.
Yeah, Michael Jackson's Beat It. I mean, there's a lot of
There was a fun fight dance.
Yeah, that half FD.
You do that.
What?
He's always he could say the first letter of sentences really fast.
I like
I can't even explain it.
I-C-E-I.
He's only started doing it in the last few months.
At first, I was going to be like, "What's hard about that?" But he said it so fast.
So fast.
H A B T.
God damn it.
G D I.
Do it for the whole podcast.
I don't know how he does it. It's freaky.
It is a weird mutant X Men power.
W M M P.
So, Mr. Glassman, you've been accepted to the Xavier School of Gifted Children.
YIH?
Oh! The Initialist.
I see. Oh, I like it.
The Initialist, cool.
Call it the Initialist.
Why?
I-T-A. Yeah.
Right, now right. What?
Yeah. It's like the why Initialist. Are we calling him it?
No, he can help us save the world.
So this Initialist is going to help me find my kid?
C-T-I-A-G-H-F-M-K-N.
No, but he just does that, and it's yeah. really cool.
Now
really,
put it onto the board and follow the coordinates.
And
the
quite honestly, I think your kid's dead, but this is really cool.
The best part is it does not lose its novelty. I guarantee it. I-G-I. Watch this. W-T.
I wish people could see the way your head, your face is nestled in your hands when you do
it. So small. I'm the tallest one. I literally have a baby microphone.
And a baby chair.
That's adorable.
I did.
They should look cute.
Where did obviously you came from across the pond, I assume, yes, but yeah, where did you come from?
Comedically, I've just done a bunch of television comedy back home, and then I came out for pilot season, and I auditioned for these guys, and then I was in, and then I find myself doing a comedy tour of the United States and having to write 5 minutes of terrible material to bring these guys on.
Yeah, he did stand up for the first time on our Datable.
It was terrifying. 600 people.
Yeah. In the big theater.
Because I was just replacing Bill, because Bill did it last year.
Yeah. Bill Lawrence.
And then he couldn't do it. So he asked me to do it 2 days, I think, before they left.
And he's done, let me point something out. David is like a trained actor, done Shakespeare's in front of thousands of people. I've never seen him like nervous, and he was so nervous backstage in Vegas, and they had him down for 7 to 10 minutes. And he goes out there, and I'm taping him, and he at 2 minutes and 30 seconds, he goes, "All right, okay, well, first comedian,
I'm gonna do some crowd work."
2.5 minutes.
I think by the end, I had a strong 4.
You started having fun.
Let me at 3.
Yeah, yeah.
But do you like doing the stand-up?
Oh, yeah, I loved it. I loved it. But I'm not sure if I could commit my life to kind of going up every night. Because I think as a craft, I think that's what it deserves.
Right.
And I don't
make
think
everything
I can...
sounds so good.
Yeah, no.
I don't think I can dedicate that much time or effort to it.
That is a trained performer right there. It's talking about craft and being dedicated and all that stuff.
I know. We used to try to count the words, Chris D'Elia and I, backstage, how many like big words he would use during his stand-up set.
I came off stage and Chris was like, "Dude, don't ever fucking say frontier again." Okay?
Frontier. I like how Chris thinks frontier is a big word. It's literally in 8 video games.
And Star Trek.
Yeah. Don't say frontier.
Yeah. I think I went
don't
so
say hat.
I went so British and tried a couple of political jokes, and I was just
those were the best.
Yeah, but that wasn't because of the big words. That was just you talking about
Mark Twain.
I imagine this hilarious scene where you go up in a room in Vegas and you're like, "Can you believe the Tories?"
Vegas is going nuts.
Ew.
So I went in then and looked like a wall cabinet.
Whoa, what?
Yeah, Vegas can be a challenging place to do comedy because everyone's just sort of in Vegas mode. There's no other word for it.
I was.
A lot of whooping. And
there's a lot of whooping and everyone. Where did you guys play?
Whooping. House of Blues.
Yeah, but we really played at the blackjack tables at the Delano.
Oh, yeah, that's when we got excited. Speaking of Mr. First Letters over here, Rick is also very good at math. So we went and played blackjack. Not that had much to do with it, but it's just he knows how to play the game well. He wasn't card counting or anything.
There's something that I decided to do recently when I go with my friends. And instead of us all sitting at one table, we all just pool the money. So we play one hand, and everyone has the same stakes on the same hand. It's just the energy's nuts. Yeah. Like, right. If we're all at a table and you get a blackjack, legitimately, I'm happy for you. That's awesome. But what am I going to get? You know what I mean? But when we're all have all the money on the same hand, it's like we all care just as much. Energy's great. When you lose, it doesn't matter because we're all laughing. We all lost together. When you win, we'll just keep pressing until we lose it all and then laugh together.
Well, it did matter to us. He was more of like this top gun. We found his vice. Rick's vice is he'll gamble.
The high roller tables in Vegas.
Yeah, we were starting to learn about
so
each other.
So much fun.
We'll I can't. It drives me crazy. If I lose like $300, I'm like, God damn it!
I know.
Well, why? First of all,
on the
relax.
$300. The second we got there, we're gonna go eat. So we go to eat, and Rick is just looking around. And he's got this energy, like, yeah, 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 yeah. And he sees a table. He goes, you know what? I'm going to put some money down quick. Walking to eat. We just got there. And he puts like $40 down, doubles it up, loses it, loses $80, right? It was like that. And instinctually, he's got a loud voice. It's a little Asian man who's dealing with cars too, like a tiny little guy with like big glasses.
And whose share is lower than mine right
now. Yeah, yeah. It just like kind of hunched over. And Rick goes, come on, let's go, let's go. And then he loses. He's very vocal at the tables. And he just goes, ah, you bitch! Like right in his face. And he goes, sorry, I know. And he just goes, I got it. Immediately caught myself too much. All right.
I'll eject myself.
We had a round, though. We had a Brent, Ron, and I each put in $400. So we have $1,200. We're sitting at the tables. And it's too long of a story to get into. I don't know. It's not like we're going to tell it on a podcast or something. But the point is, we put $800 on. I've never made a bet of $800 on a hand of blackjack. But we put it on, and we won, and there's a crowd around us now, and we're just going nuts. And as a joke, I'm not serious, I say, sorry, boys, I got a problem. And I put the $1,600 on another hand, and Brent laughs. And when Brent laughs, I'm willing to lose everything.
Yeah.
All right, I'll do anything for a laugh. So we kept it on, and we won $3,200.
Oh, my
and
God.
I'm literally shaking. And this woman, when you lose in Vegas, the dealers are on your side, or at least they're pretending to be. You know, they're kind. But this woman, when people are losing, she's like talking shit and she's kind of mean and stuff. So when we get the $3,200, she's like, what's the matter? Are you too scared to go again? And I said, I got to be honest. My hands are shaking. I got to get out of here. And I'm shaking, handing everyone their money back. And we made some money, man.
Well, that was very admirable of you to not go, let it ride. You know,
we've had those moments too.
that could have ended real bad.
It happened a few times before and after. But ultimately, we walked out with some good.
Ended up ahead. But there was a time we kind of caught the bug. And when we got to Fort Lauderdale, there's this Hard Rock Casino right there.
And so before the show
was on, before the show's even over, and Chris D'Elia's on stage, the three of us go back to the casino and lose about $400 each.
And then
went back again because the problem kicked in, and we won somehow.
Oh, you want it back?
Well, Rick goes, I'm still going. And so then he would go back, get more money, throw it down. So we kind of took a dip, but we came back.
You said, D'Elia, we're going to embark on a blackjack frontier. And he stood there for an hour trying to do that.
I knew that when we get to New York, I'm going to stay at the Home Alone 2 hotel, the Plaza. And I needed to make some cash. And did I do that? Absolutely.
Did you order a cheese pizza?
I didn't. I don't eat cheese.
Oh.
And they also, but I did order an ice cream because of it.
Oh. Merry Christmas, you filthy animal.
And a happy new year, man. Thank you. Have you ever stayed there?
No, I've not stayed at the Plaza. No, I don't think
it's
I have.
It's too much. Oh. I walked into the lobby and I was
stay at the Plaza.
Broke.
It's nice.
Oh my God. The people there are like characters from a movie, not necessarily Home Alone. We went down
like Dunstan checks in.
Snottier than Dunstan checks in, but treating me as if I were the monkey.
Okay.
So it's Saturday. I guess New York is in heavy brunch day on Saturday. Sorry, rich people at the Plaza. I didn't know. Point is, I wanted some pancakes. We asked them. They say there's these places, but there's a long wait. So we say, is there a diner nearby? And they said, there's diners all over the place. And he said, but is there one that they're known for? And he laughs and he goes, they're all a bunch of greasy spoons, but I guess you could check the Astro Burger. And I thought it was like when you're in Universal and you're seeing X-Men or whatever it is, it's like these are characters. Yeah. These are playing snotty characters. It was part of the experience. I got a $12 latte and it didn't bother me because of the blackjack tables. I don't want to act like I got lots of money I'm throwing around, but I'm at the fucking
ride
Plaza.
In the right. Main okay. Stay at the
we're having fun. I'm allocating my Plaza money to this experience. You got to stay at the Plaza.
All right. Well, I stayed at a couple of nice hotels, but now my girlfriend has a place in New York, so I just stay there now.
Well, that makes sense.
Nice.
But maybe sometime we'll just splurge.
One night, splurge. Make sure you get at least a suite.
Okay.
Get the plus.
What? Okay.
Get a cheese pizza. It'll be way too much
it.
Money.
I'll get a cheese pizza.
I'm sorry. I got excited that we were talking about the Plaza. I'm really enjoying my cadence and how this is going, and I call it a pizza. I shouldn't have called it that. Get a cheese pie. Get a good za.
You're talking like a high roller.
Yeah, man.
You get yourself a cheese pizza. You're going to get in there.
Yeah, you got to act like you're listing stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting. And the three things he's been passionate about was first class JetBlue, then gambling thousands of dollars in Vegas, and then you got to stay at the Plaza. Let me tell you, get the suite.
There's two things I don't do. I don't cheat on the person I'm dating, and I don't not stay at the Plaza. We're in New York. And I'm sorry that I'm a classy
rules.
Guy.
Those two simple rules. Mm-hmm. Where did you grow up?
Cleveland.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I don't want to represent that I'm in the same place as Bone Thugs and Harmony, but I also don't want to represent that I got more than one pair of shoes a year. Middle class.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cleveland's okay.
Hey, yeah. I grew up in a good Jewish area.
Nice. How's your Passover going?
I was playing shows with Brent and gambling money and going to the Plaza. I'm not the strongest of Jews.
You said that like a bully in eighth grade who doesn't know how to bully Passover. How's your Passover
going? People are like, well, I went in the did you smear the lamb's blood on the out of the casino?
I don't think you know what Passover represents.
I know exactly what it represents.
What's the lamb's blood?
Lamb's blood is okay. So
I'm so nervous now.
gonna offend everyone.
The Egyptians had their foot on the Israelites.
Yeah.
And Moses came along.
You just saw Exodus. Uh-huh. All right.
And basically, God said, I will smite the Egyptians so that the Israelites
fuck them fools.
Yeah. And so God said, I'm going to take the firstborn son of all the Egyptians.
I'm taking your seed, y'all.
So take the lamb's blood and wipe it on the door.
Show me you love me.
So that the angel of death knows to pass over your house and only kill the firstborn sons of the Egyptians.
I believe I said this earlier in the episode, but a man can admit when he's wrong. And again, I fucked up. I apologize, but no, there's no lamb blood. I only remember the desert part.
Okay. I always... I thought it's...
He did say he's not a strong Jew.
Yeah, but I did leave a chair for Elijah.
Oh, good. That explains the
image. I thought Passover was when you...
Don't even, man. Just...
Isn't it when you...
Oh, God.
Is it when the Jews wear the big nose glasses?
I thought it's when you trap a chipmunk and scare the shit out of it.
What?
Until he screams Passover.
What? What are you talking
about? Yeah, you can't touch it, but you can be like, ah! And then goes, Passover! And then goes, yeah, that's where it comes from. Chipmunks can only say Passover.
Well, that too.
No, Chris.
No?
No.
What?
It's Rosh Hashanah, you idiot.
I was trying to think of something ridiculous
to
say.
I just made it up.
You've been sitting on that for a week.
I wrote that in New York.
When Ron Funches says he doesn't know what you're talking about...
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. I usually got a good grip anywhere you want to go.
Ron Funches is you are an at midnight favorite.
Yeah.
Wherever I go, when people ask me, you know, they'll go, who's your favorite person on at midnight? I go, who's your first favorite? 90% of the time, Ron Funches.
Yeah.
He's the killer. The name that pops up.
Really helpful for me. Tell me my shows. People come out for it. I really appreciate it.
People come out to see me to ask if you're around. How is Ron? Is he nice? I was like, oh.
Yeah. Of course he's nice.
Yeah, he's great.
He's the nicest. Do you ever foresee yourself getting so successful that you'll start being shitty to people?
Oh, it started.
Sure, yeah.
Brent, take it from here.
Oh, my God. What? I was just thinking about the chipmunk.
Are there some Ron Funches?
There it is.
Great laugh.
It doesn't happen often. Katie's very difficult to crack. It is true. Because you've heard everything. Mm-hmm. You sit through all these
podcasts. Have you heard this? Boo!
I was just gonna do that. And I didn't know what to say.
So stupid. Didn't get her.
It did not get her.
Actually pissed her off.
Sing to her, Brent.
My ex-boyfriend said boom right before he left.
Sing to her.
I blew my voice out doing the boom. He could sing too.
Yes.
Sing off.
Oh Jesus.
Okay, I'll do it if Brent goes first.
I'll go first.
Once there was a chipmunk playing in the streets. Three simple Jewish men came up and stomped their feet. Get over here, ha ha! And this chipmunk went Passover, and they and that's how it began. See, here we go. I mean, that's from the Broadway play Passover.
A chipmunk Passover. I don't know if I can respond to that. Jesus.
Well, he's like good.
You must
like
have a train. Show tune in your back pocket somewhere.
Okay. And then the chipmunk said, Passover, Passover. And I didn't know what to do. Passover, Passover, Passover.
Passover.
To you.
Chipmunks of Passover in the streets of New York. Jewish little Passover chipmunks.
Ron and I started writing a song.
New York Times calls it the most offensive play
to both Jews and chipmunks.
Brent Moore stands offensive. Behind it.
Jews and chipmunks alike will be horribly offended.
Just when you thought Book of Mormon was the most offensive musical of all time.
Baruch Ron and I started writing chipmunk.
A musical about him.
Oh, man.
You have to make this now.
Really? It is done.
I think.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
So your background was theater. You were theater and
theater. You
gotta segue into something.
Theater. Yeah.
Theater. Yeah, I did. That's the reason I'm here, actually. I did a musical in London.
What was the name of that again?
Spelling Bee. 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. It was the thing, like, Josh Gad did it and Jesse Ferguson did it. No, Jesse, what's the guy from Modern Family?
Oh. Jesse Tyler Ferguson.
Yeah. That's the thing that he got noticed from. So I did that in London, and then there was a review.
Is that the improvised thing you said?
Yeah, there was like half of it was improv.
That's kind of weird.
Which was cool.
Yeah.
No, it was really good.
Well, that's, I mean, the idea of doing the same play day in, day out feels like a prison.
Yeah.
But being able to improvise sounds amazing.
And, yeah, and you got to improvise singing and dancing and everything. Yeah, it was great. It's great. It's one of the best.
So what do you
I've
do? You have to like they so go
this
interact.
So this the improv came from so it was a spelling bee competition, and then we'd pick four audience members to come up and take part in the spelling bee. So then the improvised stuff came from around them.
Oh.
So we had to get them out with really difficult words. Until one night there was a Chinese medical student who we couldn't get out. We couldn't get him off the stage because they kept getting all the words right. So they were on, and we just couldn't get him out. So then we had to make up a fake word to pretend that they got it wrong. And then we had to get rid of him through that.
And then drag them out.
And
kicking
then drag
and
him off 3 hours later. Yeah. And there was no song.
What was the fake word?
I can't remember.
Boogalow or something, right?
Yeah, Boodabawa.
Did. What television shows did you do in England?
Sherlock.
Oh!
Right. Game of Thrones, Doctor Who.
Who episode were you on?
He's a Who nerd.
Whovian.
It was the Pandorica Opens.
Oh, the Pandorica Opens. That was the season finale that year.
Yeah, yeah. I was the goofy soldier that...
Oh, that's fantastic! Yes.
Yeah.
Guys, yeah. Rory waited.
Yeah, he did.
He waited a long time. For his love.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a huge... My favorite.
And now Amy's over here making TV shows.
Yeah, and movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, Karen's in The Guardians.
Yeah, she's great.
That's fantastic. What's it like to work on Doctor Who?
It's so surreal, because I only had three lines, but then as soon as they announced the cast, I was getting some really strange letters. Like I got a letter from this guy, and he sent me pictures of his daughter. She's like 8. Pictures of his daughter kind of like, this is Emily feeding a hedgehog, this is Emily cooking a cake, this is Emily doing this. And then I went to a convention and he was there with Emily, and he was like, hi David, it's me, and do you remember Emily? And Emily's a huge fan. And he was like, aren't you Emily? And she was like, nah.
Yeah.
So obviously it was just like weird.
He was using his daughter
as
the vessel for his fandom.
Yeah. And you get things like people send you drawings of yourself. And they're like, here's a drawing. Do you think it might be worth some money? Maybe 10 or 15 pounds?
Oh.
And then they want you to send them a check for a pencil drawing of your face.
And of course you send
David
it.
Spent so much money.
I spent
on
thousands
drawing.
Just
thousands
trying not to be mean, just being too nice.
A lot of terribly drawn pictures of him in his apartment.
Yeah.
People
just
take
a whole
wind.
Wall.
People take wind of it and they just draw whatever pictures. You got to mail it, you'll get 15 pounds.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so great.
I did a lot of the goofy, nerdy stuff over there. The kind of, the Game of Thrones and Sherlock.
I'm halfway through season 4 of Game of Thrones now.
Nice. Okay. Which one of the episodes won lots of Emmys and stuff, didn't it? The Red Wedding.
Red Wedding. 4. Oh, you're in Red Wedding.
No, I wasn't. I was in season 2, but that's the best episode. I haven't seen it.
I can't wait for it to come back. It's
yeah,
the only
it's a couple days.
Show that I'm so excited.
There's too much good stuff on television right now. Yeah.
I'm liking Better Call Saul a lot.
There's a lot of good television. Absolutely. I'm going to watch it all. But Game of Thrones, I'm actually like, I cannot wait. I'm going to have a meal ready.
That's his face.
I know, he's so excited.
Always with food as well. You can have a meal.
Yeah, you get some fun pad thai, maybe a Chinese dish, as long as it's Asian. And, you know, watch it with someone I love. I don't know. I just, it's something I look forward to.
Ron, what shows do you watch? What's your favorite show?
My favorite show, I like Better Call Saul a lot right now. I watch a lot of wrestling all the time.
Yes.
That's probably where I spent most of my viewing hours.
How much wrestling is on during the week?
A lot. Six, maybe about 7 hours of wrestling.
Ron, we brought it on tour while in the green room before and after the show. Ron's watching it.
We played a game the last time Ron was on at midnight where it was like, what is the outcome of this thing? Oh, right. You were on too. And it was, they were all what we thought were obscure wrestling clips.
He knew them
and
all.
Ron was like, oh, I remember this one. This was where blah, 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 blah. And then he got, he crushed everyone.
Yeah.
He
have you lost
me.
Yet?
It came down to the final thing. And it was.
You haven't lost yet, have you?
I've lost. Yeah, I've lost a couple times.
Okay.
But just
but
a
you've
couple.
Got the record for most wins.
I think so.
I want to bring something up while we're talking about this. At least when I'm on,
yeah,
against him especially.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, you got to hold for laughter on the final question. Because you're stepping over. Now, I understand there's a technique to it, and that's just one big, heavy punchline.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that.
Yeah.
And that's the genre. Yeah. But it doesn't need to be. Well, hold for laughter. There's layers to
I
this stuff.
I feel like I did.
Well, I appreciate you feeling it, but until a minute ago, you didn't even remember I was on that episode. And I get that. I get that.
Yeah, who's all that right? on? Who?
God forbid a little hold for laughter, you know?
Get that Passover, Chipmunk.
Gotta lose, dude. It's the most fun. And you get the little monologue, the camera. It's cool.
You get the
no,
red light?
You lose first, but if you lose second.
I've yet to lose and stay for the red light. And every time they tell me to stay for the red light,
you
I've
just
done
walk
that every
off.
Time. Yeah.
Yeah.
By accident. I don't mean to. I
it's
forget.
Funny. It's your it's thing.
It's my thing. It is my
thing. Your
thing
when you come
lose.
On, you lose, you walk
didn't
off.
Didn't you do a lot of man kissing the last time?
Yeah. Santino and I did. Andrew. That was a
we did. We did some kissing on tour as well.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Rick won. You went really backstage? British there.
Did you really?
Really?
Lots of kissing then.
Yeah.
That's I mean, this is so offensive to Jews and Brits.
Come here. Try this pie.
Okay. All right.
What
all
was
right.
that?
Try to think of English food. Get your fish and chips and your wand.
I love that you said pie because you need to be
wand.
Safe. Like every culture
every
has some kind of pie.
Italians a pizza. Yeah.
Follow
banana.
Us quickly down this alley.
Do you like your water?
Come on, you gotta think of something more specific than water.
Do you but... like your sparkling water?
That was specific.
So mad.
So British, you
think,
guys.
I think we should see who's got the best British accent. Of
you
three.
Do.
Yeah, of you four, I think.
Wow.
Mine's
Rick,
decent,
Rick,
you,
Rick does a decent one.
But you have to be able to see the finger mustache. And if you can't see the finger mustache, it's kind of pointless.
Well, just say finger mustache, and then we'll see.
Okay, well, if you talk with a little finger mustache, you'll understand it sounds like you're quite from Britain.
You're quite from Britain.
Don't think it does.
Well, it's your opinion.
It's terrible.
I ordered a bunch of Maltesers, I did, and they came, they were melted. I gave them the Big Bang Bosh, I did.
You're just using British terms. You can't cheat it. That's a
did
good call.
Did you say Big Bang Bus?
The British accent.
It sounded like you said Big Bang Bus.
They love the Big Bang Theory. I love a good bazinga.
A good what? A good what? Give him a good bazinga.
Ron just adds "I did" to the end of every sentence, and that gives you authenticity.
Your British accent is the most amazing. The Funches filter creates such a wonderful, a wonderful output.
It's like a woodland king. Follow us to the Overlands, to the Limblongega.
You must answer three riddles. Yeah.
Why come whenever someone does British, whether it's good or not, their voice is always so high?
Monty Python.
Well, actually, you could do it like
oh, yeah.
this.
Obviously.
Because of Monty Python.
Yeah. If you want to do it like lot.
No, that's your agent voice again.
No, okay, just, no, this is Brent doing 1980s British rock star.
Well, it's like... it's like I told her you can't come in if you're not wearing the shirt that I that I got you. It's like you know, it's like you gotta respect the band, mate. That's what it's like. You smell pussy. And you create music. Okay. That's
you read this, so
this
hard.
This
that's
without doubt the worst I've heard.
I think that's kind of good.
You just, while you're trying to find it, you go, you say, it's lie.
That's how they do it.
Isn't
that what they do, though?
It's lie.
I get a little bit lie.
You sound like
Forrest
Gump. I like it.
Man. It's amazing what we think we sound like in our head, huh? Fuck. I was seeing Oscar, but no. Well, Forrest Gump. Well, why don't we find the Quidditch?
No, man. Hey, watch this. Brent, what's Quidditch?
Quidditch is when you take the ball, you throw it in the air, you get on your brooms.
You do know, okay.
You chase the golden nugget, and you kiss Hermione, maybe. Just wait for the next movie.
Chase the golden snitch.
It's funny, though, having David on the show, being British, it's so, like, we're comedians, and we're fucking with them all the time. But they're normal people will just be like, oh, hello there. You know,
oh,
it's
do you
like,
know the Queen? And yeah, I spend like, so much of my life going, yeah.
Just immediately offensive.
I sure do.
We all know.
Would you say that bothers you the most when somebody says mate?
Yeah. When someone's trying to connect with you by saying mate, I'm like, you don't have to do that. Just say dude. Just,
right.
Yeah. Like, but they do it in an American accent. How you doing, mate? And it just sounds really odd. Sounds really weird.
Hey, mate.
Yeah, see?
How's your...
Hey, mate.
Look at these cunts over here.
And we have a winner.
Look at these stupid cunts over here.
Yeah.
Right. These stupid fucking cunts. You twat. Look at this fucking twat. He's right over this fucking Jeremy Clarkson.
Nice. Nice. Clarkson as well.
Yeah. He knows.
Yeah. I know. Is Clarkson going back to the Beeb?
He's out, man.
He's out completely.
He's got to be out now, surely. After dropping the N-bomb last year, he's got to be out.
He's got to be gone.
Yeah.
Is someone else going to pick him up?
That was a final straw. There's a guy called Jeremy Clarkson. He's a BBC presenter. He does a thing called Top Gear. And Top Gear. He's put his foot in it a lot. And in some outtakes last year, he did Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Mo, catch up. Mm-mm. But he said it under his breath, and then it got published. And he didn't get fired. Unbelievably, he didn't get fired, but no, he's just got fired. For punching. Wow. I think he punched a producer.
It's amazing the lengths that he had to go to.
I know.
It was almost like, you're trying to get fired.
Yeah, I know. He was Top Gear, though.
He was.
Yeah, and he was that show.
I mean, it's one of the biggest shows.
It's huge.
Yeah, I had a DVD of that show. I watched it. So I'm cultured too, guys. Yeah. I know Jeremy Clarkson.
I was in London a few years ago, and I went to a movie, and he was in the movie theater, and these like 13-year-old kids, like four 13-year-old kids behind him, were heckling the shit out of him, and it was clearly like he didn't respond to it, but it was just a lot of Mr. Clarkson, will you drive my car, Mr. Clarkson? Just like
whatever
mercilessly,
heckles.
Yeah,
just whatever they can think of.
Just like snotty 13-year-old British kids, just like poking at him and poking at him, and it was amazing.
Where was that in London?
It was at this big theater. It was a Mission Impossible premiere, so it was this big round theater somewhere. I don't really remember where it was. But it sort of looked
Narnia.
Like...
Narnia.
wasn't...
It might have been Narnia.
It was through a wardrobe.
Okay, it could have been Narnia.
And Mr. Tumnus led us to our seats.
What if that was the statement that got me in so much trouble?
What did you say?
I said, what if that was the statement out of this entire podcast that got me in so much trouble? You can't say that, Brent. You can't say Narnia.
It's like, don't ask about the Queen and don't ask about Narnia. I was a big... I loved the C.S. Lewis novels so much. But they never made my favorite one.
Which one?
The Magician's Nephew, which was the first one in the series, where you discover all the rings and the pools and it's fucking amazing.
Oh,
but they never did it.
Oh.
Can you ask the Queen why they never did it?
Little nerdy child Chris is so sad.
I know. My life is hard.
I like that title. I thought it was different, though. I thought it was just about like a really disappointed kid. That was like, I hate my uncle. he's always coming to school. Trying to do these sleight of hand tricks. Nobody's buying it, Uncle.
I know it's your thumb. It's not my nose.
I think that'd be a great, like, if there was like a version of Cliff Notes, like Ron's Notes, where you basically just describe what you think books are about based on the title.
I like that. That's a great idea.
Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
Great idea from Chris Hardwick.
it's clearly just about a cat, like how he get up there.
Chapter two, the
especially
climb.
When it's so hot.
You know you made a mistake.
All right, clear and present danger.
It's like, why would you get in this situation in the first place? It was presented to you from the beginning that it was not going to be a good situation.
This summer.
There's going to be danger there.
Should think of other titles right now.
I would love to hear you replace the In a World guy. Like, just have you be the voice.
Oh, yeah. All right, guys. Well, check this out.
This mission's going to be seriously impossible.
I will come and see this. I don't want to give it all away.
There's some chipmunks.
I don't want to give it. Imagine hearing that.
Okay, if you were doing a trailer for The Matrix.
Okay. So all right, so you think you know what reality is? Well, guess what? You don't. And there's some things you could learn how to fly and stuff. And there's also some pills here coming this fall. Do you like shiny trench coats and kung fu?
with the laugh. The laugh is included.
The Matrix.
Your laugh is so infectious, Ron.
Thank you.
What made you decide? Like, what made you? You grew up in Portland.
I grew up. Yeah, I lived in Chicago and moved to Portland and a lot of different parts of Oregon when I was 13.
When you were 13, was it that your family moved to Oregon?
Yeah, my dad. There was a big construction boom at the time, and so my dad moved there. And then when the boom left, he left, and I was like, I'm gonna stay here. It was fun.
And that's where you started doing stand-up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Started in Portland at Harvey's Comedy Club, a horrible 80s club that still doesn't do well.
It's still there, right?
Yeah, it's still there. It's just, it's fun to have those places that are just indifferent to the actual. They're just there to sell nachos.
There are clubs around the country that are clearly run by people who... It's really about comedy, and there are other people who run clubs that are like, you just distract these pigs while they shove beer and hot wings into their faces.
Yeah, they like, well, he can heckle as long as they're buying drinks. You know, they don't care. I had people rolling cigarettes in the front row.
Oh my god,
they just brought it like, this is what I'm gonna do for the next 45 minutes. Just roll cigarettes.
Hey, after you set, could you say this message about who's playing next week? You know, that shit. Like, what? No.
They gave me in one of the towns. They gave me a big long list of five. They gave me five sheets of paper to read out on stage. I was like, dude, my whole bit is 4 minutes long. And you're giving me like 20 minutes worth of intro.
That just gave you extra time in your set.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. Some of those clubs can be really picky about. There was years ago, my buddy Mike and I played at the Tempe Improv, and they at that time, I don't know if they still do. Or is it still open? Is Tempe Improv still open?
Yeah, it was there.
Okay,
then it is. Renovated. Just there this last week.
I apologize. Yes, it's still open. Good. But they ran like 15, 20 minutes of commercials before the show. And when we came out on stage, we were like, oh, this isn't our set. We're just going to do some more commercials. Like literally just a throwaway because we thought, oh, these people have sat through so many. You know, here's who's coming up. And then afterwards, the floor manager came up and he was like, hey, man. You know, the owner was here and he saw that, and he was really upset that you made fun of the commercial. Like, this is a comedy club!
Yeah, wow. This is what I do.
But I don't know if it's the same people running it anymore. This was in 2007.
It was fun. I didn't have fun with the radio, but that's just normal.
Yeah.
You know how.
How do morning radio shows handle you?
It depends on the show. Some of them are real weird. When, like, you know, there's some shock jock ones, and then they keep trying to go one way with it, and then I just go the other way. Because it's fun. And they're like, you know, sometimes they'll bring up my son, and then they'll just be like, what's it like having a kid with autism? And I'm like, it's great. It's dope. I'm going to try to buy him an Ashton Martin. That's what he wants. And they're like, you're going to give a kid with autism an Ashton Martin? Does that make you a good parent? I'm like, if I buy a kid... If I manage to be able to buy my 16-year-old a luxury car, I'm an awesome parent.
Why would they hit you up with autism questions?
They just, you know, they just the type of people who are like, let's just go for a touchy subject. And then they were like fine with me. And then when I left, I heard them still because I kept it on their station. And then they were just like, well, Ron's saying they don't want to cure autism. They just want you to understand it. Oh, they're probably going to ask for their own car lanes and stuff like that. Just, you know, I'm just like, just talk to me to my
my face, and I would have just shut you down nicely, politely, but thoroughly. But now you're just a little bitch.
Yeah. Well, it's also, it's bad, hacky jokes.
Yeah, they probably think that's good journalism as well. Because they think they're being brave by going there. They probably think that's kind of edgy.
It was just, I just think that radio, and I don't mean, because there's some good radio, and there's some great people. I love, like, Sway. I love some wonderful radio people who've helped me. But in general right now, it's like a bastion of people who are kind of holding on to an old mindset of being racist or, like, sexist. Like, you know, it's just a place where they're just, like, still talk about women drivers and stuff like that.
Right,
just,
right,
like,
right.
Oh, that still exists?
And you go, like, and you wonder why you're in a dying medium.
Yeah, you wonder, yeah, why are you jealous when I come on here and talking about me on TV. He's like, yeah, because you're a horrible person. That was with the guy, and he was like, oh, I heard Chris D'Elia is Justin Bieber's favorite comedian. You think that's going to help your show? I'm like, yeah, how is it not going to help to have a super famous person say they love a guy on our show? He was like, well, what about a guy like me who, like, that turns me off from one? And I go, well, you're not our demographic. Our demographic is young people, smart people, people with money, attractive people.
That's why I was wearing my Undateable shirt all around the plaza.
You're just hoping Justin Bieber would spot you and go,
just Rick, looking for rich, good-looking people.
Rick hasn't said anything for 15 minutes. He's just thinking about the plaza the whole time.
You were not talking about the plaza?
No.
What if you just had that big rant and Rick just goes, yeah, they do have good sheets.
I have a lot of thoughts about Ron Singer now, but and you and I have actually talked about it a few times. I don't think it's not just radio. It's all over stand-up comedy too. I mean, people just, if they get a reaction, then it's to them, it's a win.
That's the thing, is that when you're a young comic because I think a lot of comics go through that when they're young. It's like, oh, it basically means you're not confident enough in your comedy writing skills that you have to say something shocking as opposed to something funny.
I think that's where it starts. I think it starts for either not confident enough or not developed enough to do something more. But then if you do that, especially if you're on – I have a big issue with Vine, by the way, because you have these comedians, and I call them comedians because they're putting out comedy content. But – they put out this stuff, and they're getting all these favorites, all these or revines or whatever it is. They're getting a reaction, so now they're being trained to assume this is what it is and this is what it should be. And it starts somewhere not being able to or not knowing how to write anything different, but then people start to develop jokes around that. And it's just about calling out someone's mental disability or calling out the size of somebody or the color of their skin or whatever it may be. It's because I think they were trained, they got a reaction that they like, and then from there the seed has been planted. I don't think, even if you're a great writer, there's no going back from that.
But I don't know how far you can go with that. You know what I mean? Like, I think
success-wise, or how long you could do it.
But I mean, either, actually, because I think sooner or later, I mean, you can't. It just, that doesn't sustain. And I think when you're a young comic and you're like, I'm just going to shock the audience and say something that they won't believe. And then at a certain point, I mean, they think that's like a limited resource. I mean, it's like overfishing, you know. And then at a certain point, you kind of go like, okay, I think I actually need to write jokes, good jokes, clever jokes, jokes about me, not like pointing fingers and going, hey, look at that, you know, like it's hacky. I mean, it's a hacky thing to do.
And I think in a lot of ways, because when you're, they're not even pushing the envelope, you know, they're reinforcing old stereotypes, they're reinforcing things that aren't true. So it's like, just reinforcing that status quo is the opposite of being provocative, is the opposite of being shocking. And that's what I hate. It's like, oh, I mean, like, be racist, but be fun, you know?
I'm so much more offended by hackiness than by racism. I have a bit of a talk about it. If someone were to call me a kike, I mean, it's like, that doesn't bother me because whatever, man, you know that word. That's cool. You must be part of the Jewish community. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it's like when you do it, you kikes, fuck, you know, hey, there's a dime on the ground. Why don't you, what are you talking about, man? Kikes hate dimes. You know what I mean? No offense, that's, but Jewish women aren't the most. You know, no.
And that's how you write a good one.
but I honestly, you know, if there's any consolation you can take away from it, Ron, it's the idea that you know that those types of comments come from a person who is dead inside. Like, those people,
they don't get it.
They're shriveled, like, a long time
but
ago.
But the audience listening to it,
who isn't as familiar with comedy, and not just about what's current, but just what's
around. It teaches a bad message.
It trains them to, this is what it is. You know, now I feel like there's things you're not allowed to say, but even whether it's Vine or bad television, whatever it may be, there are people that are, and I say middle America is a metaphor for people that aren't around this constantly, but they're like, this is what it should be. This is not only where the bar is set, but this is what the context is and what we're supposed to understand. And then they develop things around that. So people who go up on stage who are inexperienced or insecure or have been doing it for a while and just want shock, whatever it is, they're now training these 200, 400 people in the audience. And the more of them they are, the more people come to expect that. So when I go up on stage and say whatever it is that I'm doing, I'm a little weird. I'm trying to figure it out. I get it. I haven't quite gotten my voice down. They don't get what I'm doing because I want to hear about how fat people love chicken wings. That's all I care about.
Right.
And they've been trained to hear that.
Well, I think that's why – the only thing you can do as a comedian is write good, you know, like strive to write good material and try to train people to appreciate good material. And if there are audiences that want to hear bad stereotype jokes, you don't have to perform for them.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, Ron is going on the radio in front of these people though.
Yeah, but I've started. I mean, that's actually a takeaway I took from that. Is like, you know what? No, I want, because of the way that they looked at me and the way that I could feel like it's not a racial thing, but it's just like, oh, you're different. You're not like us. You don't think like us. And I'm like, I want to embrace that. I want you to come to your town and you think I'm a fucking freak.
Right.
That's what I would like. I want the people who want to get me to get me, and I'm always going to be looking for more of those. But if you don't get me, I want you to know from a mile away that you don't get me.
Right, because you don't want... You don't want that kind of – if that type of small-mindedness gets you, then you don't want to be a part of that in any way.
Yeah, pretty much.
Who are these guys? You should just say who they were.
I don't. I mean, if I had taken any time to even look through my itinerary.
Chris is
– Fuck you, Chris.
Chris D'Elia in the mornings.
And I'm going to say Frontier whenever I want.
We all love that word. You won't stop us anymore.
I mean, I'm honestly surprised that no one called them out for making jokes about autism. Like that, I mean, it's shocking.
No, I think they always, you know, they hide behind like PC police against it. I'm just saying it things. I'm just saying it how it is. You know,
yeah, I just say what people want to hear.
Ugh. Well, if it makes you feel any better, they're trapped in radio and they're not going to go any further than that. And you're going
to
have
back to Chipmunk Passover.
Let's get back to real comedy with Chipmunk Passover.
Hacks. Anyway, act two.
Jump, 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 jump. Does it bother you at all, or you can take it all in stride?
I mean, both. Yeah, it bothered me a little bit. I had some things bother me recently because the movie would get hard. I had a bunch of, or not a bunch, but a handful of black intellectual young people just be like, hey, you're a coon. And that always was like, oh, I didn't expect this to happen.
Who said that?
I don't know. Some lady. I think her name's Kenesha. Just because she was like that, the movie reinforces stereotypes that a lot of black people go to jail. I think that was it. I think that was her beef with it. She didn't see it though, because in the movie, the whole thing is that he hadn't been to jail. Yeah, that's the plot twist.
Actually, no,
sorry for giving it away.
Spoilers.
It's in the trailer.
Now what? Now where do you think the responsibility is? Where if someone, let's say, if someone is actually telling a story, let's say you tell a joke on stage and it's something that's legitimately from your life, and someone goes, "You're reinforcing stereotypes." You're like, "But this is something that really happened." Like, what? Where's the line? And what?
I feel like both is like, mind your fucking business. Either way. Like, I don't owe you anything is how what my took away. Because for a minute it bothered me, and then I went on Conan and talked about how I ate oatmeal, and I got a handful of people telling me to go fuck myself about oatmeal. So I'm just like, oh, I mean, okay, well, this is just what it is.
It's just what it is.
They had a fucking point though.
Seriously.
That's how you know you're making it, dude. You're getting haters.
I think it's, you know, because of social media, every single person has a voice. Yeah. And a percentage of people, no matter who you are, not going to, you know, some of it is they don't like you. Some of it is they're not happy with themselves and you just got in front of them at the wrong time. And social media basically traps it's an emotional snapshot of whatever they were feeling. And I think a lot of the time they don't even necessarily feel that way anymore. It's just like, I'm feeling this now, and this is a way I can blurt that out.
Well, last year we tried a different approach when we were like live tweeting our show and stuff, and we'd have people say like, you know, unwatchable, you guys suck or something, and then we would kill them with kindness. Remember, like Ron, you'd write them like, why would you hurt our feelings? We're just trying to work. And
yeah, because I feel like, especially when on a TV show, maybe especially a network show, that people are like, oh, these aren't even real people. And I can just be like, this show sucks. This guy sucks. This guy's fat. This guy's too Jewish. This guy's British. This guy can't sing for
too
real.
Too Jewish. Like, we're okay with Jewish.
Yeah, you're too Jewish.
Too Jewish.
But it's nice
this is an acceptable level of Judaism on television.
But if he doesn't work on Friday, I'm not watching on Tuesday. Stays at 9.
Oh, we just got good chemistry. Good chemistry.
But the response to being nice, they would immediately be like, sorry, man, I actually do like the show. You guys are great. Like, a lot of them.
Sometimes before
retract.
The show even came out, if you have a show that's called On Anything, you're just going to get shit because there's all the puns in the world they can make.
Right.
But before it even came out, they were calling it unwatchable and yada, yada, yada. And when we write back, like, yo, man, like, we're doing this with our friends. For years, I wanted this job. Please give us a chance. Sorry, I haven't even seen it. I just got mad at the trailer because I hate commercials or whatever it is.
Yeah. And the thing is,
I'll watch it now.
And it loops around a lot to the sort of hacky comedy thing where they just.
Don't expect.
Well, they want to get a reaction out of you.
Absolutely.
So they just poke, and then you're like, ow. Sorry.
Oh, you're a person.
Right. It's a very low percentage of people that'll be like, yeah, I poked you. Fuck you. You know, it's a very.
And there's almost a respect to that. And I don't mean please keep saying fuck you when I say ow. Say no, fuck you. You two Jew or whatever,
right?
But like, it's like, oh,
you got a rapper, gold chain, by the way. Two Jews.
No, it's two Star Davids.
one triangle on each, and the
Grammy goes
guys,
to Two Jew.
When Two Jew opened for Two Chainz, it was so
Two Jew Chain.
Two Jew not only opens for him but handles all of his finances.
You're reinforcing stereotypes.
Yeah, but fuck you. You know, listen, I hate the show. Come on, man, work hard. Yeah, I get you work hard, but the show sucks. All right, you've seen the show. Thanks for watching. You don't like it. Try not to be so mean anymore. But this is your point of view as opposed to just, hey, let's see if we could get this guy who's verified to write me back.
Right.
I'm verified.
Oh, so you're saying you're verified.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
Yeah, he really asked to be verified.
It's nice when they do it and they make spelling mistakes and then you just call out their spelling mistake.
Oh, that's
fantastic.
And then
they all
then
do, by the way.
Which I don't like doing. Actually, I'm just like, hey, if you got the gist of it, then you got it. Just pointing out a technical mistake. Fuck you. But I actually want to say that I like the hell people have been turning around because it was a lot of that. And then it's not like people protect our show. It's really fun to see people be like.
Especially since Bridget joined.
Yeah.
It's fun. Well, I think when I saw the billboards for, like, just seeing the billboards of your guys' faces all over Los Angeles was really exciting because, like, oh, wow, then. You know, networks don't just do that.
Yeah.
That's when they get behind a show, you know?
Yeah. So it was a 180.
The show came out
as a summer show, and just nobody heard of it.
Yeah, it was almost like one of us was the owner's son, and just to get rid of us, they let him, like, go make a show, you know? Like, and then now it's like, they're like, ooh, we like you guys. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's a weird change.
From the moment we came back for the second season, it felt like a different show. They were way more behind us.
Which also, I give credit to NBC, too, because there's so many shows that get canceled when they don't give them a chance to live. And I commend NBC for letting us, like, breathe a little bit. Because shows used to be 22 episodes, and that's where you can really find your legs and figure out what the show is. Because most things are built on a pilot, then you're trying to figure out off people's strengths and chemistries and how does something work. And then adding Bridget this year and Bill Lawrence and Adam Steekel just being so open to creative criticism and feedback.
Yeah, that's the best thing about this job is like, because it's not to say that we sometimes, I mean, they're great writers. It's not like sometimes a bad joke won't sneak in. But with us, like, they have this front line of people who love comedy who go like, oh, I'm not going to go do this Oprah joke that you wrote because it's 2015 and I don't want to do that. And then they'll be like, well, come up with something different. And that's the best answer in the world. And they don't get mad at me. They don't go like, oh, you know, just do what we say. They're just like, well, if you can beat it, and we'll come up with something different.
It's great.
Yeah,
for something at such a high level in terms of, you know, it's on the network and stuff, I've never been in something so collaborative.
Yeah.
They listen to everyone, like every single cast member.
Door open to.
And even one of the guys, Adam, who came in, and he was only doing one episode, and he was like, oh, you guys do a lot of improv, huh? And we were like, yeah. And then he did some improv, and he did this thing. He did this breakup selfie gag, and Bill was like, "I like that. I'm going to get that kid back." So they just, even the people who come in, they get freedom to kind of have a play as well. And it's,
yeah, and they're really adamant about, like, we just want to, if there's any roles that you think fit your friends, we just want funny friends in the show.
Oh, that's
like,
great. If they fit Brent's friends, not my friends, they never, I'm just saying, don't come to me asking for roles because I'm not.
Hey, Ren, I'm your funny friend.
Oh.
I'm perfect. Look how undateable I am.
Oh, shit.
Oh. those radio guys are going to call him like, hey, man, sorry about those jokes.
Yeah, I heard
your friends.
I heard, first of all, they want your friends and I can say whatever I want. Let me come in.
Oh my god!
I ran into D'Elia at breakfast the other morning at the diner I go to.
At your house?
At my house.
Oh, what are you doing here?
Just walked out in a robe. but it's so funny to run into D'Elia in public because every single time he has this energy. Like he's just killed someone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's
and
scary.
He doesn't want anyone to know about it.
Yeah.
You're like, hey. Oh, hey, what's up? Like, yeah, he's twitchy, yeah. And there's something kind of like, where did you come from just now? Like, there's some weird thing going on I can never figure
That's
out.
A really good observation.
He just looks scary.
Yeah, I've never noticed that, but yeah, he does look like he's always covering something up.
Well, he's in his phone, and then once someone says hi, he realizes, oh, the world isn't that. You know, and then you come up to him, and then I feel like I'm just now continuing a sentence because I didn't get a reaction, and I don't know how to end what I'm going to say. Was I being rude about one of our friends? But you guys get it. No. Too Jewish.
No. Well, he doesn't.
Too Jewish.
He saved it at the end there. He saved it.
Yeah. What if?
But he's funny. He's a funny guy because if he likes you, then he'll be nice to you. But if he's not interested in what you're saying, he'll just be like, yeah, I don't care. And then he'll just walk away.
That's what I love about him.
He's very honest.
He's so great.
He doesn't fake it.
There's a lot of people who are a bit phony, and Chris is 100% honest to a fault. You absolutely know where you stand with him, and I
just
love
in his
it.
Face. We have to do most of the interviews together when we do press, and I got to be in it's a nightmare. Because he just doesn't want to do it. And if he doesn't want to do it, and somebody says something stupid like, what makes you guys undateable or whatever, if we're doing like hundreds of different interviews, he's just like, I'm out. He did shit.
He did this thing. He did this thing. He said, watch, if anyone gets my name wrong on interviews, watch what I do. And then someone called him Chris D'Elia. And he literally put his legs in the air and was like, on the morning news. And I was like, what was that? He was like, it's because they got my name wrong.
You have to condition them.
Yeah.
But he didn't correct them, so they don't know.
I just think he's crazy.
Like a lab rat, though, eventually, if they do it enough and they'll start
How
to connect.
How many times are we going to go to, you know, obscure city that I can't think of in front of these people?
Duluth.
Duluth.
Twice.
Minnesota.
Duluth, Minnesota. Yeah, I'm going to Minneapolis on Friday, and then Madison on Saturday. Have you guys been there?
Oh, Madison. Madison was Wisconsin.
It's
great.
A good
I love it.
Town.
I love it. Yeah.
Minneapolis is great too.
Mm-hmm.
It's where they shot. What's it called? With Dangerfield.
Back to School.
Yeah,
I was going to say that, but I was going to say Back to College for some reason.
Well, that was the subtext of the
what
movie.
It was, right?
Yeah, he was going back
he was
to
going
college.
Back to college. You're not wrong.
It was. I mean, yeah.
Well, I'm a C+ student.
But we were doing the title of the movie.
But you're also a doctor.
I am a doctor.
Good call. A good callback.
Thanks.
And
man.
I feel like they didn't give you enough for that. Yeah, but you deserve. Yeah. You deserve
always.
More. But in general, you guys are good. You good? You happy?
I'm happy.
Yeah, really happy.
Real happy. I'm feeling good. I got a great bed. I have a fun girlfriend. I got some good amount of money. I got to go to wrestling a lot. I'm working a lot, but I feel good about it. I'm losing some weight. Things are just feeling good. I'm on a positive path. Thank you for asking, Chris. How are you?
I really hope someone memes that and takes a headshot of you and just like prints all of that in text.
Also, put it in order to make sure you know the priorities
first.
Are. Listen, my girlfriend's great, but hold on. I got a great bed.
The
bed
is great.
You open with bed.
It's a good bed.
Well, that's one of the things. Like when you first start making money, that's one of the things.
It was
like,
the first purchase when I moved.
Because you realize it's one of the most important pieces of furniture in your house because you spend a third of your life in it.
You're preaching to the choir.
Oh, yeah.
This is
we love beds. We're big bed people.
BBPs.
Undateable. We love beds. Got a great one. It's feeling good. Yeah, spent so many times in horrible beds or cots or just not beds, floors.
Floors.
So now it's nice to have a great bed. And then because it's like I'm working a lot more. So I'm like, oh, when I'm tired, I just like to let that bed turn into a taco, start vibrating, do the things that it does.
Your bed turns into a taco?
It goes back in time. It does
look amazing. Bed.
That is it makes me juice. What?
I mean, that's not heightening. It turns into a taco. We could go to any place in the world and get this. Makes me juice. And I got a good girlfriend.
Yeah, she's great too. But this taco
this
bed,
she
juice?
Does not make me juice.
No. And she doesn't turn into a taco. Mm-hmm.
Well,
I mean, come on.
Got him.
We did it. We did the podcast. That was an hour.
It took me about 20 minutes to realize it had started.
I know. You know, I got to get better at that because...
No, it's good that way.
So many times when people are on, like 10, it's usually 7 to 15 minutes, and they're like, have we started? And it's become sort of a drinking game of people listening to the podcast. And I always have to remember that I should tell people up top, there's no real start, and you can swear, and you can say whatever you want. I always forget to tell
them.
That's
great.
But
no, I liked it. The second I saw you go, how you guys doing? I was like, oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, this is happening.
Yeah, we started.
Holy
shit.
It in.
Okay, come on. Bits. Chipmunk. That's what's going on in my head.
We were supposed to hang out, and we never ended up hanging out.
I know.
Out.
Well, you're
it's
busy.
My fault.
I got busy. No, we'll do it.
Got
let's
so insecure,
do it.
So insecure for you to say that you were also busy.
Yeah.
Well,
you were busy.
I
also.
Listen, I was doing things.
I could have made time. To be honest, if you were not busy, I would have been available.
Was I around in the perimeter if you were there and wanted to do something, I could have possibly joined you. Possibly, you know, who knows? Maybe,
but I don't know.
I mean,
they're missed opportunities. You
know,
that's why I get to grab these.
We'll do it though.
But it's, you know, when we were touring, I was single, and so I had a lot. I was like, oh, I can
now,
go. You know,
now it's over.
And now I have a really great girlfriend.
Now you have a great girlfriend. Why do you want to hang
out? What
do
you sleep on?
A bed.
Fuck yeah, dude.
A taco
so you toured while you were single with Brent.
Yes.
Okay.
But we were never.
did you dance in the shadows?
No, but no. You know, I watched.
He doesn't drink or anything.
Oh, okay. I don't drink, and so and also I'm not.
He just kind of looked at me, go crazy.
And I'm not like smooth like with like big meeting people, and so I kind of just like watched them, you know, like move in and talk to ladies, and I just stood back and sipped at a club soda.
It was fun though. Many a time though, it would just
that's
end up being like
that's the classic punches maneuver.
What? That's the punches?
Yeah.
Sipping club soda.
You'll sit back with a club and cranberries, watching other people get laid.
It's actually quite refreshing. I'm much happier doing that.
It's typical. Well, right on.
You were listening to Clown Jazz.
Here's another half hour of people hitting each other with cream pies.
You mean where they ejaculate into each other without wearing condoms? What? I'm sorry, I thought, was that not?
No, you had it right.
You nailed it.
No, that was good, that was good.
Yeah. Right. You just say what people are too scared to say.
I'm edgy.
The way you just said I'm edgy is the least edgy I've ever heard anybody say. I'm edgy.
No, I thought
it's like a killer doll.
I'm edgy.
Okay, the worst thing that I've ever like the dorkiest thing that I've ever said. My this was a few years ago, girlfriend. I legitimately got mad at something on my computer, and I blurted something out, and she said that was the fucking dorkiest thing I've ever heard anyone say. I had ordered a t-shirt and it hadn't arrived, and I couldn't track it down, and I'm like, they're all out of this Hawking t-shirt in a small.
Oh my god, so real.
You're a small?
It was, yeah, I'm a men's small. They're all under this Hawking t-shirt and a small. It was this picture of Stephen Hawking, and there was like this wireframe of a black hole, and it said, you know, my goal is simple, is a complete understanding of the universe, or some, you know, just a quote like, and it was my favorite shirt for the longest time, but I couldn't track it down in a small. I was really upset. Edgy. Yeah. But I'm very happy for Undateable, and I'm very happy that you guys are working. And please, and again, keep coming on At Midnight, and keep. And how much longer is the tour going on?
We just finished it.
I'm sorry we didn't get to promote that.
It's okay. We're doing a live show, May 5th.
That's the important one.
Where's the May 5th show?
We're doing a live hour.
Oh, you're doing your show
live.
Undateable.
It's airing live.
An hour.
Okay,
we're doing two of them, an East Coast feed and a West Coast feed.
So is there going to be improv?
We don't know yet.
I think there's going to be control. I think there'll be improv. I think we'll rehearse it a lot, but they'll say, and now in this bit, this little maybe 5-minute segment or whatever, they'll say,
hold for as long as he goes.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, that's a gutsy move.
I know. That
is classic days of television move.
I think that's part of our thing, though, is that people are going to expect us to laugh and mess up. And
well, in an age where it's difficult to get people to watch television at a specific time, you do have to kind of create event programming.
Yeah, reason. I mean, there's no difference of watching it now or tomorrow if you DVR it, but if it's live, you're seeing it.
You're seeing it happen. Well, good luck. I hope
they pull it.
I hope, no one says anything crazy.
Well, I'm just saying, if one of us just loses it on the live episode, so...
Fuck the government! Fuck you, Mr. President! Fuck you!
I'm just like, you know what, Danny? God, kill the feed! Why'd he say that? I'm like, did I just say Jew?
Why did I say that?
We went from fuck the president of the government to just saying religion. You think that's bad?
Those are the hot words.
Catholics!
No.
Christ!
That's all how you say it.
Greek Orthodox!
Baduism.
Man, my instincts to say the real hot words are really being suppressed at the moment.
Good for you, Ricky.
No.
Would you like to
save it for the live show?
Ron, you should end the podcast.
Okay.
So you have to tell people to enjoy their burrito.
Enjoy your burrito.
Yes, the best. That laugh.
I know.
You have to make that a ringtone, dude. Do you understand how much money you'd make if you made your laugh a ringtone?
I'm on it, Hardwick. That sounds like a great idea.
It's a great idea.
I like that you said to cut this part out.
Oh, man.
Sweet.
Fun.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Once upon a beat. Remember those stories and fables that would capture your imagination and you couldn't wait to see how they would unfold? And now, when you read them as an adult, you think, some of these old tales could use a fresh spin. We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remix, and reimagine for the kids in your life today. Join me,
DJ Fuse,
and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, as we spin up new tales in the New Kids and Family Podcast, Once Upon a Beat. Yeah. Wondry and Tinkercast are bringing you a jam-packed, music-filled weekly party where hip-hop and fables meet. It's Once Upon a Beat. Follow Once Upon a Beat on the Wondry app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now by joining Wondry Plus in the Wondry app or Wondry Kids Plus in Apple Podcasts.
Once Upon a Beat.